The research community has been extremely conservative. So if we want to see a change, it must come from the researchers themselves.
My name is Christopher Lewis, and you're listening to Postdocs Talking. This episode is being produced in advance of the Danish Diabetes and Endocrine Academy's annual postdoc summit on the island of Bornholm in September 2023. This year, we would like early career researchers joining the summit to think about and be challenged to rethink the scientific publication. We would like our participants to make a positive impact on research dissemination and upon the career of academics. Today, we're going to be discussing scientific publication and how the work of the researcher can impact the world around us. We talk with Thomas Aslev Christensen from the Novo Nordisk Foundation. Thomas is the Vice President of Impact at the Novo Nordisk Foundation, and prior to this, he worked for the Danish government, advising the Danish Prime Minister in European and Economic Affairs. He was then the head of department at the Ministry of Economic Affairs. During this time, he was also an associate professor at the University of Copenhagen in the Department of Economics. In 2014, Thomas joined the Novo Nordisk Foundation, where he was first head of operations, and then in 2020, moved to being Vice President of Impact. Today we will be speaking to Thomas on the topic of what is scientific impact and how is it measured? Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So I want to start the interview today just by getting some background on what the foundation think about impact. So from your viewpoint, what is impact?
Impact for the Novo Nordisk Foundation is positive impact in the society, that we make a difference in many areas where we have funding activities. It could be impact in research environment, could be impact for productivity in companies, it could be impact in terms of innovation in the public sector or in the private sector. And it could also be impact in terms of collaborations, building up organizations, infrastructure, and so on.
So, I mean, something that we want to talk about at the summit in Bornholm is how we measure impact. So how do you measure impact from the viewpoint of the foundation?
The Novo Nordisk Foundation has a strategy. And in this strategy, we have formulated 9 principles for societal impact. So these are our guiding principles for how to measure impact, how to set up criteria, how to collect data. And just to give you a brief overview of the 9 principles, the first principle is about supporting research talent. The second principle is about supporting organizations, infrastructure, and institutions. And the third principle is about promoting collaboration in society. Collaboration across disciplines, but also across borders and across people. Then we want to promote excellent research, innovation, new products and new services. And these are the 3 other principles. And then a 7th principle is about creating jobs, economic growth, and sustainability. The 8th principle is creating world-class education. And the 9th principle is about supporting people in the different settings. Mm. It could be health settings, humanitarian settings, social settings, and so on.
It must be quite a long-term thing to assess impacts. You know, how often do you take a look at, you know, the impact of the foundation, for example? And, you know, is it every 5 years? Is it every 10 years? Or is that even too short?
Well, once you think it takes time to measure impact. But since we have these guiding principles, we can actually also measure impact in the very short run. Mm-hmm. So if we start an activity, then impact is also the activity itself. For instance, training of researchers, supporting setting up of infrastructure. So we see that impact can be concrete results even in the short run.
Yeah.
And then, of course, researchers, they produce knowledge. So that turns out to be output.
Yeah.
And that output can also come even within the first year of a research activity. So So we think it's really important to support the research community in the right activities, in their ideas. And we see from the reporting that we actually have short-term results as well as long-term results, because sometimes when researchers has published a journal article, that is can maybe be 1 or 2 years after the project started. But it might take up to 10 years or 50 years before this research is cited in patent activities or in treatment guidelines. So we are looking for very short-term impact as well as for long-term impact.
That's actually really, really nice. It goes into my next question, which was, you know, as early career researchers, we feel like we're always being measured, and it can be quite regularly and on a short term. And something obviously which we want to discuss again at the summit in Bornholm is academic publishing and the publication. And it's become more and more controversial over the years and the impact of journals. So something I want to ask you is, what do you think about the metric of journal impact factor, which is what we're always told we need to have high impact factor. But how do you see this, and how does the foundation see metrics like this?
Well, as a researcher, I would love to publish in a high impact factor journal. And I would also love if my journal articles are cited.
Yes.
And among the most cited. I think that's, to be honest, if you want to have impact in the research community, then of course publishing in the best journals and being cited, this is important for the career of researchers, and we should not say this is not important. But beyond journal articles, there are many societal impacts, yes, which are equally important.
Yes.
So that's the reason we have these 9 impact principles, because we want to recognize people, and in our case, mostly researchers, for their achievements within the research environment, but also beyond the research environment. So it could be collaboration with industry. It could be participation in committees, contribution to policy, engagement activities vis-a-vis the general public, and so on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And something you mentioned there was industrial collaboration. And I know that's something you've done a lot of work with in the past. Do you think that these are becoming more and more popular, and whether it's postdoctoral or PhD programs, do you think this is the right way? Or do you worry that perhaps, you know, some academics might say that we're moving away from curiosity science, and it's, you know, science is too results driven? What do you think about that?
Oh, I think a lot of these discussions are a nonsense.
Yeah,
to be quite honest. You can say you have good research and you have bad research. You have research which repeats what others have been doing, so it's not novel research. And then you have not novel research. I think that you should try to do what you're interested in, and the curiosity is important. But it might be that the data you need, you get it from the public sector or private sector, and that can help you in your curiosity. So it doesn't mean that if you are collaborating with a company or a public sector hospital, that you are less have less curiosity.
Yes.
So the focus should be on creating new knowledge, but also ensure high research integrity and share data and collaborate and learn from others. I think that is equally important.
So I'd like to move on a little bit now into some reports that have been done and come out recently, one Denmark-based and another one more international. So starting with a report that was published, and it was commissioned by the Novo Nordisk Foundation and the Billum Foundation in 2020, and it was called the Scientific Impact of Danish Research 1980 to 2020. I thought this report was fascinating, but also potentially slightly worrying if you're in Denmark. The main finding was that the impact of Danish science has actually decreased over the last decade from 2010 to 2020. And this has happened despite the fact that there's been a significant increase in the number of scientists in Denmark. So what were your thoughts on this report?
I think we got an interesting report from the University of Aarhus, who did the study for the Villum Foundation and the Novo Nordisk Foundation. And I think there's many learnings from the report. One learning is that we have in Denmark been able to build up a big research community. The volume of researchers as well as the volume of published journal articles and scientific publications has been the highest in the Western European countries. So I think this was a part of the strategy of the government where we got more money in Denmark for public research. So I would say that has been a success. We also see that a lot of young researchers has been supported in this period. The PhD production and the number of postdoctoral fellows has increased a lot. And this might give the indication that we have many talents which are could be becoming the stars in the future. Mm. But with the increase in volume and many young researchers, then it might be not a surprise that they don't have the same citation impact in the world as the older researchers. And that also what we have shown in the analysis, that we have more older researchers, old stars, who are still producing a lot and with high citation impact, also compared to other countries. Of course, the development also reflects the global development, that the way we measure impact in the report is citation impact. It's not societal impact. And what is citation impact? That is visibility in the world. It has nothing to do with quality. So it's just how visible is the research produced in Denmark. What is one could regard as scaring in the report could be that the relative citation impact is higher for Denmark than the countries we are comparing ourselves to. On the other hand, it might not be a surprise that since we were among the top one or top two countries when measure the Danish performance in terms of citation impact, then we are also those who are falling at most when the structures in the research environment in the world are changing. But we still have a lot of research. The production is going up. The number of researchers is going up. And that's also give a good indication for a strong research nation in the future.
So it's maybe things are looking up, perhaps, and are rosier than
that. Yeah, I think it's a little bit of an early warning.
Yes.
That we should make sure that those who are now young talents, they also can grow up to be international talents or international stars.
So, I mean, you look at these results from Denmark, and Novo Nordisk Foundation is, of course, rooted in Denmark and its history even. But are you looking for other fields as well? I know that you have a lot of global projects, but in terms of funding researchers, do you see your long-term plan will be more global? Or was it?
Well, we have just approved a new strategy last year. And in that strategy, we state that Denmark is the center of gravity for the Novo Nordisk Foundation. So being one of the world's three largest research funding foundations, I think it's good news for the Danish research community that we have Denmark as a center of gravity. But followed then by international collaboration. So what we see and have been seeing during the past 1-2 years is that we have increased our funding to international organizations, to universities abroad, but mainly in collaboration with Danish universities. So the understanding of Denmark being the center of gravity could also be that when we fund excellent research environments outside Denmark, it would be to help increase the quality and the volume of Danish research in certain areas. So this goes hand in hand. So
of course, yeah. So I also want to move on, you know, this report which we discussed covers Denmark, but there have also been more recent reports come out that suggest that this isn't necessarily just a Danish problem, that research is perhaps becoming more average, you could say, to put it crudely. But published in Nature this year was a paper which states that papers and patents have become, in quote, less destructive over time. And I thought this was interesting. But do you agree with this? That is each paper seemingly less interesting? Does that make sense as time has gone on?
I understand the argument. I would say that is also something we show in our report. That the visibility, the citation impact of journal articles are getting closer to each other in the Western European countries, so we don't distinguish ourselves so much from each other. But at the same time, we have seen an increase in international collaboration. So the way we measure citation impact in countries is actually to look at the publications where we have authors from a certain country. But if you have many authors from many different countries, we are measuring the same journal articles for the different countries. So that is one thing. And other thing is, yes, it might be that research is less incremental. We try to support a new type of research, interdisciplinary research, to help research to make a new discoveries, to make breakthrough research. Is difficult to predict where it is. It's also difficult for researchers to engage in new type of collaborations with the research from different research fields, because they have to learn new methods, to learn to collaborate across scientific fields. We know that from our funding programs, it takes time, but at the same time, the novelty of the research is also higher. So I think we will see more funding of interdisciplinary research as an answer to these analyses you have just mentioned.
Yeah. But do you think, though, that perhaps the world, as I said, you know, researchers are always being measured, and one of these is to get funding, and the best way to get funding is to have lots of papers. So are researchers almost being incentivized to not take risks and to be more safe? And does that, you know, of course, each publication, even if it's incremental, is a contribution to research, but are we potentially missing out on really big findings by being safe in our research?
Who are deciding what are the research as the criteria when you select projects? Who are evaluating the projects? I think that's the research community themselves. So the research community has been extremely conservative and continue to be conservative. So if we want to see a change, it must come from the researchers themselves, because they are those who are evaluating applications, who are evaluating submitted journal articles and so on. So what we can see from the Novo Nordisk Foundation side is actually that we are supporting a lot of research projects which does not deliver journal articles, and that's perfectly fine with us, because we think it's our job also to help researchers to take risk. So we hope that the committees who are selecting projects, are assessing projects and awarding grants, they also understand that we want them to take risks and identify the projects which have the potential to deliver more novel research.
There's a movement as well in certain fields with, I know that there's certain funds such as the Lundbeck Experiment Fund, where the application is anonymous until the end stage. Is that something that the foundation would consider, it to remove the any sort of bias because of a known name or a famous professor, you know, where you could take risks that way?
Yeah, I think it's really good that we try to experiment in our research funding. There are many opinions about whether they're biased or not, and what type of bias do we have? The bias we can see from our studies is that the committees tends to support less risky research projects, but no bias when it comes to nationality or gender or others. But there's a risk that committee members who are also researchers, they focus on supporting the areas where they also have most knowledge themselves.
Yeah.
So we are then experimenting a lot. Also, we have a lottery in certain programs where we actually, after the assessment has taken place in the committee, make a lottery of those who are also qualified but did not receive money. And that's also should reduce bias.
Yes.
Then we also have blind auditions in certain programs. Then we make a lot of what we call standalone grants. And in standalone grants, we give an idea, a grant, that could be for a research group or for a research center. So in this connection, we try to get totally rid of any discussion about biases, because that is up to the researchers themselves to set the right team and to deliver the research they have promised themselves.
Yeah.
So there are many ways to avoid biases.
Yeah, that's interesting. And also, I mean, do you think it's more important for early career researchers to be risky?
I think that if you want to conduct curiosity-driven research, then you should do it your whole life.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't say you should be more risky when you're young than when you're older. Just like you shouldn't be more risky because you are a man than if you're a woman, and so on and so forth. So I think you should try to do your best to make interesting quality research and not repeat yourself, and try to be open for new collaborations and be inspired from research traditions in other fields than your own fields. I think that will make you grow through your whole life. So yes, you should be risk-taking in the early career, but also in middle career and the late career.
I mean, something that we're told as early career researchers is that we should be doing high-impact science. But do you think there's a difference between high-impact science and high impact? Or are they connected? And what would you rather see from the viewpoint of the foundation as well?
When we talk about high risk or high impact, what does that mean? High impact is sometimes defined as high citation impact. I would say high impact for me is impact research which contributes to innovation and to solutions for the benefit of society, research which deliver new technologies or new knowledge which can be scaled up and have an impact in the whole society. And that might require more risk-taking in the research projects, but not necessary, but it might be. So we see a lot of research which are not regarded as high risk, deliver fantastic results and new therapies or new medicine or new technologies. And then we see high-risk research, which does not deliver anything.
Yes.
So it's, I think you should take risk in your research, but not risk in terms of less research integrity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So what I want to move on to finally now is actually talk just a little bit about the publication itself. Do you think it's outgrown? It's our science has outgrown the publication. Is it still a good way to disseminate our research, or do you think there should be other ways that we can, as researchers, show the world our research that might actually reach an even bigger field?
I think that when you make a journal article, it's an excellent way to work into a research area and to document your knowledge. And in that process, with excellent peer reviewers who are responding to your submitted journal articles and give you ideas how to improve your research, then this is a very fruitful process. So, and hopefully in the end, it will end up in good research articles. And I think that is a concrete documentation of new knowledge. And if we did not have journal articles for the past 100 or 200 or 300 years, we would have been lost. So I think it's wrong to say we should not produce journal articles. It doesn't mean that we should produce bad journal articles. And it does not mean that we should support bad journals who are supporting rubbish. So we should also criticize ourselves a little bit, be critical to what we are doing, but we should certainly continue to conduct research, document it, and disseminate it. Yeah. And dissemination is not only journal articles, also speaks, talks, podcasts. I love to listen to podcasts with excellent researchers from all over the world and learn what they're doing. But they could not do these podcasts unless they had done their research.
Yes, of course. And quickly on that, I mean, what is the foundation's viewpoint on open science and open access journals, for example? Do you think that's important? And or, you know, do you have any you know, kind of strategy going forward on
that? As I mentioned earlier, we give the researchers the full freedom of publication, which means that we will not determine how or where to publish. It's up to themselves. Of course, we would like to see that the research we support are published in a way so as many researchers have access to it as possible. But we are not involved in formulating policies in this area. We think it's up to the research community to set up the framework conditions and also the public sector, the politicians, and we will support that. So we will not go against it because we think it's important that we have this freedom of research and freedom of publication. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I want to ask you one final closing question, and this is the same question that we're asking all of our early career researchers in Bonn in September. And it is the academic publication as we know it dead?
No. I love to read publications, even in, not in my own area.
Yeah.
So the academic publication is not dead, and it will never die.
No. Well, thank you. And with that, I want to thank you for your time and for joining us today, Tom.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you to the Danish Diabetes and Endocrine Academy for keeping postdocs talking. And thank you for listening.